Hello and welcome to the July 23rd special session of the budget workshop. And we're going to start right with the Susan's going to lead us off.
Good morning. Since our last budget meeting, I've had the opportunity to update some items at your direction and also items that have come in for change. You have next to you a couple of files that I printed out for you. The first one is fund balance, and that goes in your fund balance section right behind the current expense fund balance sheet and replaces the version dated 7/23. No, not 7/23, 7/15, sorry. Okay. And you've at your option, because they are dated, you could just keep that in there just for reference if you choose to do so. So what this fund balance change includes are the updated revenues that we discussed, the PEB health insurance increase, so the HRA and HSA estimates for those increases. I have a sheet that shows the effect on each fund and also a comparison to what the effect on each department is. So you know what that total is for all of the funds.
So should that go here with the fund balance?
I am going to put it into my budget assumptions page section for easy reference.
Okay.
As well as the non-rec salary increases. That you also have a page that gives the same format where it's the effects on the funds and the effects on the departments. Mm-hmm. So the PEB increase is estimated countywide to be $364,000 and some change, and the non-rep increase is estimated to be $284,556.
So PEB's, what percentage is PEB expect? Is that 5%?
It's 9% for HSA and 5% for HRA.
Why are those different?
I don't know why it's probably the experiences with those plans.
Yeah.
When Catherine comes, she may be able to give more insight on that. That's where I usually get the information for those type of increases. And then the last page I provided to you is the REIT 1 page. We discovered that the feasibility study for the Freeland wastewater solution of $150,000 wasn't included in the capital budgeting module in ClearGov. So when I imported that into the operational budget, it didn't come over. So when I was talking to planning, we discovered that that wasn't there, so I needed to update that. And that page would go under REIT towards
they're using REIT to pay for that.
Well, because this is a draft budget, it certainly is up for discussion where that should come out of.
I mean, would that have fund has it? I just didn't know that's what they were doing.
Yeah, it's an allowable use.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. That does work.
Okay.
Let's see, is there anything else in here? Part of the adjustment in the system was we had estimated a placeholder for one of the contracts, the DPA contract. And I actually got the actual scale that is in that agreement. So I did program that and removed the placeholder. So that's now updated in the system and is reflected in the fund balance changes there. And then added to the schedule for tomorrow, and really this probably is a work session discussion, but because your work sessions are so full, I agreed to put it on the budget work session since there was room for tomorrow for the sheriff to bring forward a discussion of enterprise fleet management for the sheriff vehicles. So he'll be bringing that discussion forward.
Is that, and that's tomorrow?
That's tomorrow, yeah. Yes. After the re-discussion. Okay. And with that, I'd be happy to turn this meeting over to IT Director Dean Lemborn for his opportunity to speak with you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. First off, a question: how would you like to handle this? Would you like me to go over our budget item by item, or is there questions that you have regarding it?
I think that we're interested in knowing anything that's changed from last year. It's really the main thing, Dean.
Is the main thing to go over?
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to start with the enterprise content management. We have budgeted this year $160,530. Basically, we're going to spend very little of that. We'll spend about $1,300 so far on it. This is something that's been in our budget for several years now, and we just keep moving it on because we have not been using this money.
I'm already lost. Where in the budget are we right now?
We're on page four, the second category.
Yeah, on yours,
I think it's
it's
page
on the
one.
spreadsheet. It's one of four.
Yeah, it's where it says 160,530 on software licenses.
So it's all in there, or that's just for that? That's what I was trying to
Yeah,
understand.
this is all for the enterprise content management.
So software licenses is just enterprise software management.
Yes. And that's for purchasing future license in the future. There's also the professional services in there and some small equipment, small computer equipment hardware.
And we didn't spend the 165.30 it was budgeted for 2025, correct?
Yep, and it was budgeted the same amount in
24.
2024,
Okay.
and we spent about $1,500 that year.
Okay.
It's been in there for a while. This is something I just wanted to call attention to it. It's being driven by a committee that we don't seem to be getting much progress on, but it's something that we could consider if we do not want to put, or with this year that we could take off of our budget
We
with
could take
that.
it off and reevaluate in 27 if we need
Yeah,
to.
if we need to. So.
Is this anything that's one-time money or ongoing operating money?
My understanding is it's one-time money, but it hasn't been spent, like I said, since what, 2022?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. Yeah, it was the initial cost of the program. And we anticipated once we put something in place, we would come back with whatever the operating was if we needed more.
So
But the initial money has never been spent.
it's the 160,000 has been a placeholder for at least
It's
3 years.
No, it's 339,000 that's remaining in the fund. So we did spend some initial money. There's some applications out there, but the wholesale product that we anticipated everybody filing and searching electronically has not been.
Okay, so let me ask my question differently. You started to say that the software license for the enterprise software management was just rolling forward the 160,000. So that's why I asked the question the way I did, which
Oh,
is.
sorry. Yeah, it's in three objects here. One of the three is licensing, but the total available is 330.
So the other two items, including the equipment and the professional services, have also been budgeted at those amounts for the last few years and not spent.
We've just been rolling it forward because we
Okay.
haven't spent it.
And probably I'm going to make an assumption that at this point, that was the price 5 years ago. I'm going to assume the price now is going to be higher if we were to actually do this.
Since part of it is professional services, yes, I'm guessing that would cost more than what we budgeted here. The licenses, have they increased?
No.
They have not. Oh, well, good to know.
The professional services portion, is that to have someone else do the project or?
We anticipated potentially hiring people to help scan and Help with coding if needed,
Sure,
depending
it's a
on
lot of
what was
scanning.
wanted. We could do some of it. It really depends on how we decide to implement,
And
but
how we decide to move forward.
and the hardware was mostly expansion of scanners and or some scanning services.
I think one, and maybe it's again how I'm not reading it correctly on the budget, but one of my questions is going to be, how did we allocate this originally? Did we allocate this as one-time money originally, or is it ongoing money? I mean, I'm trying, like, I guess it's how I think, but right now I'm trying to do like an operational budget, right? And trying to understand operationally how much we have. And then I think about like one-time expenditures separately. And so this is in my mind embedded in ongoing operations, not in one-time expenditures. This looks like this is what it costs to operate the county. And this is actually an option we have to move forward and purchase this or not. The money set
Yeah.
aside maybe for this purpose, but it's not an operational cost.
Correct.
It's an additional cost that we would use one-time capital for,
Correct.
right?
And it just has been rolled forward.
So I want to make sure that we've rolled that money. I mean, have we rolled that money forward, or did we take it at any point? Because it would be unused one-time allocation at some point.
Well, since it's been embedded in the budget, even not spent, the placeholder has been there. So you've held that in your
Okay.
budget. My question would be then, there will be ongoing costs associated with this, right? So we'll see this reduce at some point. Do we know what that ongoing cost will be at this point?
Not until the committee decides what it wants.
We're not paying an ongoing license fee for.
We are in it. The maintenance and hosting is in our hosting object because that is in use and that gets paid every year for the various applications that it supports. This portion was anticipated to be used for all departments to join the electronic content management activity of keeping things in electronic form and searching for them that way. The other is just the regular licensing for laser features.
The software licensing in this is just the end user.
Expansion. There would be more
Yeah,
people
we have
using.
to buy the initial license to get the person on it, but we are already covering the
What we're
ongoing.
using it for.
So I guess what I want to clarify is in 2027, would we have $339,384 of operating costs, or how much of this is costs we have to carry, and how much of this is one-time money?
This is all one-time money.
The whole
Correct.
$339,384.
Yeah, I think it started out as $500,000 in the initial project. And then the second year of COVID, we put it on hold because the obvious, not everybody in a room, but and it's been in this state since.
And then what we have right now that we're using, the laser fish or whatever,
Separate.
that's the ongoing cost associated with that or somewhere else. So
Yeah.
this entire 339 is an optional expenditure in 2026.
We wouldn't move forward with the ECM portion of using laser fiche. It would be an option we put on hold or and brought back later or something like that. Yes.
Okay.
But this 339 in the ongoing capacity calculation, I didn't include that. So this would actually increase the ongoing capacity of the organization. So the one page current expense fund balance, I didn't include this as one-time money. I didn't realize that it was.
No, you concluded it. It's included right now as operating, right?
Yes,
So
right.
if we were short on operating, we could look at this as a one time. Okay. So how, other than like if Dean didn't call it out, how when I'm reading this would I have known that this was one time money that I should be asking about whether or not it has to happen now, whether it could be held off, whether, I mean, I'm not saying we'd hold this off, but I'm like trying to figure out where we are with operating.
It's difficult because I don't have all of the historical information. ECM was started before I got into this position, so I didn't have an understanding that this was something that should be called out. I think as we go through each one of the budgets, we should be asking that question. Do we have one-time expenditures in here? Could you
Built
identify
in.
your one-time expenditures? And that's going to be the most effective way
Okay.
to get those every time the department comes forward.
Okay. If we are wanting to reserve the capacity for this, would we leave it like this? Or I'm thinking about sort of what we learned in the training yesterday. Would we want to set it up in a technology reserve fund so we book banking the capacity, but it's not in our operating? Because
With
I
it,
just don't, I'm
yeah.
wondering what our options are.
Right now, it's holding a place because it was budgeted this year. We're not going to spend it. More than likely, not going to spend it. So that will roll into next year unless you decide to hold it in fund balance for execution.
So if we were to go to another department, right? And we're like, okay, we said we were going to buy tasers, but we didn't buy tasers. And we allocated that as a one-time expenditure for that year. They didn't buy it. Are these departments building that into their operating budget because we said yes in one year, they didn't get it done, and they're rolling it forward? Or are they coming back and re-asking for an allocation? I mean, that's a small dollar amount. That's why I picked on it. And because I think we did something like it last year, maybe.
Since we actively do a list of one-time expenditures, I'm looking in the budget for those to make sure they're zeroed out.
Okay.
And if in asking the department, did you purchase these items? So if it is there, it's like, why is this in here as a repeat?
Okay.
Right. So I'm clearing those out through the budget development
Okay.
process
Yeah.
if I know about it.
Right. No, I'm not. I was just trying to think through. I mean, we do it a lot with positions. We do it with capital expenditure. I mean, IT, there's a lot of things where we think we'll buy the initial and then we build in the ongoing. And so it's really hard to tell. Like if I just read this, I would think, okay, well, we need the licenses to operate the thing, right? So I wouldn't know to ask that question. So I'm just trying to understand what would, I mean, I get, I'm going to ask the question now, but what would trigger us in reading this to be like, hey, how much of this is carried forward from the previous year on a project we didn't get done? Is this ongoing operating? Because I don't look at the things in this budget right now as like particularly optional.
Yeah, I think it's asking the question.
Okay.
Yeah. With the capital plans, though, those are rebudgeted every single year. So that capital plan is built from scratch every
Right.
single year and imported into operational. So there should be no capital that is a rollover from
Right.
a prior year unless the plan, when it was brought forward to you, they declared these projects didn't occur and they are going to roll. So it has to be part of that capital plan designed that way to get included into the budget.
And we don't do a capital plan for IT, or we do. I know we have a like a equipment kind of replacement plan once we purchase the equipment, but do you
Correct.
have a capital plan? We don't approve a separate capital plan for IT.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Only for equipment.
Just that
Only
one
for
row.
equipment. Yeah.
And this isn't equipment. This is a license to use. It's not because some of the things
Yep.
that got described were scanners, and that's like hard hardware,
There
I
is some
assume.
hardware included in this, but main of it, most of it is going to be the licenses.
And we're
Think
not oh,
of this as a, like we use LaserFiche and it's a program. The weirdness about this one is it's a project within that program. And then when it came to us budgetarily, we created a separate account so we could
Right.
kind of get it out of there so we could pay attention to it. And there it sits. And I think it is a good option to potentially not spend to solve some of these issues since we have.
I'm wondering if in capital planning, if acquisitions of new licenses in IT land is really a capital expenditure. So we think of it as like brick and mortar or equipment for the road shop, or, but just because it's not like hardware, doesn't mean that it's not a new acquisition, because it comes with like renewal of the license, right? So that initial purchase, a little bit, is a capital expenditure. That's when you buy the thing that takes on the ongoing
It's a
costs,
new expenditure.
right? But we're saying it's not capital because it doesn't kind of fit in that category, but it is capital in the sense that the one-time purchase to acquire access to the program is usually different than the ongoing costs of maintaining a license. And so, should we think about that as a capital expenditure? The initial signing up for a program, the initial in IT, I'm not saying everywhere, but in IT, where we're going to enter into this relationship and it will be ongoing.
So normally, unless it's inconsequential, it's a couple hundred dollar product, it comes through on our supplemental budget. So it would be easy to call out, like if we're going to buy a new XYZ system, it would never come through the operating budget. It would always be
Right.
supplement, and prior to that, lots of work sessions.
Wait, are you talking about establishing a fund for in anticipation of this going on in the future, or?
I mean, I think I'd asked Susan before you came in about the supplemental request because we're doing a maintenance and operating budget, right? This is just a, I had a word for it, but I've now lost my word for what I'm calling this budget. But
Status quo.
yeah, it's just a status quo standard budget, right? We're just doing the basics. Problem with that conversation is in IT, standard operations require evolution of certain expenditures and certain things. And that's more than just renewal of a license. Sometimes is we have to acquire the next step in our cybersecurity software. Is that type of software purchase, which I think is what you're kind of calling licensing, but I'm going to be old school in how I think about it. Is that software purchase, should we think of that as a cap, should that be in a capital plan of we need to, even for standard operating? Okay, so like facilities, they'll have a list that says we need a new roof, we need a new carpet, we need to do whatever. You can say that's not ongoing operation, but in fact, it is. There's a certain amount of money that we have to spend all the time to make sure that the lights are on, that there's a roof over our head, that we're not tripping on the carpet, that we're not, right? That there's some choice in that, but you always have to budget and plan to make some of those choices. Technology is not that different, at least in my observation, which is it's always changing, evolving. One product goes out of business, you got to acquire a new product. The dude, does its thing. I'm going to be hung up on that forever. All that stuff happens that requires an additional purchase or infrastructure purchase. And we've done it
Great.
for hardware. We have this equipment replacement plan for hardware. But I'm just asking, when we think about like capital expenditures, IT always has to spend more money than the previous year. It really always does. There's no way to avoid it. And that's coming from me. So there's really no way to avoid it. I'm just trying to think about how we should, because your supplemental requests are being considered as,
More operational than.
well, some of them are just like when I think of supplemental, it's optional items. And some of your supplementals really aren't optional items. And so where should those be? They should be on a kind of a capital plan that
It
this is
should be
what
on,
we,
absolutely should be on a plan, or an upgrade plan, or
some kind of plan.
replacement plan, like the financial software. It's we're declaring these things need to happen by this certain time.
Right.
So we should have a schedule that helps declare those things.
Maybe capital, sorry. Maybe capital is not the right name,
But it's an
but the
example
concept.
of a long-term
Okay.
planning option.
Also depends on the type of software that you're talking about. There's different types of licenses. Like there are stuff that you buy outright, you have a perpetual license to use until it no longer works on your hardware.
Right.
And that's something you'd have to go out and buy again, unless, like with Adobe, they've moved from that model to a subscription where you buy a subscription for the product and just keep paying every year for it.
So
And
I was trying to find the words for what she was saying, and I found this. Tell me if it fits. They called it asset lifecycle management because our software, when we buy it outright or we buy subscriptions, those are assets that we're managing that have a life cycle, right? We know that some of them last 20 years, some of them, our subscriptions enables us to have those upgrades until the product is because I think that's right. If we need to have some kind of an asset management plan for the software that you manage, not just the hardware that you manage.
We've been talking about this endlessly, and it is analogous to what we're doing in hardware. A PC lasts 5 years, so we put it in there, and at 5 years we buy it. We know what we paid for it. We know what inflation is and whatnot. The difference is with software is we know that we use PAX as a great example.
PAX is a
Its
great
lifespan is about 10 years, but we've had it for 20 years.
I have a car that.
Right. So we
well,
can
it's put
save
it
it
is
there. At
lifespan.
the end of 10 years, we've saved up enough to pay for it, but we decide not to do it. And this is very classic in accounting. We have lots of this. Now what?
But
We wait till it
if you
falls
have the
apart.
life cycle management
Pardon?
planned
We
and
wait till it falls apart. That is what we do.
we make a budget decision to extend the life cycle of something beyond its recommended life cycle, like PAX. That just gets recorded, but we at least know where we are in the management of these. It says from life cycle, from procurement to deployment to maintenance and eventual decommissioning or replacement.
And hopefully we're putting aside money in anticipation of
Right.
replacing it.
But it
So
wouldn't work. So if it was anticipated to last 10 years and we stopped contributing to our piggy bank at 10 years, at 20 years we would not have enough money to replace that
yeah, but you
product.
have to
Marshall Drainage
first.
District.
I mean, we do have a we I've seen it. We do have a schedule that says this is how much money IT needs every year to replace all these things. We have that. I think it's software based or no hardware
Hardware.
based, right?
Yeah.
Right. If you buy this a computer, I'm scheduled to get a new computer in X number of years. I'm not getting a new computer. You can wait 3 years and replace my computer. It's gonna be fine. And I like this one and we're not touching it. So we're not using if Melanie needs a new computer, she can get one. Melanie's computer. So I get how we do that. I think what I'm wondering is, and it's an out loud wondering. If part of our budgeting process should say there's X amount of dollars that go into I'm calling it capital because that's what I understand, but it goes into an asset management fund or it goes into some type of fund, and that you budget those supplemental requests within that fund. And if there's something that is, and we approve that expenditure list. You say I have $500,000 to spend. This is what I think I'm spending on IT. We approve that capital plan, different than supplementals. Supplemental would be here's something I want to do outside of the capital plan. But we know that every year there's a certain amount of capital expenditure that goes towards IT, just like we know there's a certain amount that goes towards facility, that there's a certain amount that goes towards vehicles, that we're, there's a process where we're like, these expenses don't go away. What this triggered for me was this kind of reality that there are expectations that IT needs to meet that are not covered in this budget. And that this project, if it was in a capital type plan or an asset management plan, we would have seen it move from year to year to year, but the funding would have all balanced out over the time, or you would have seen an accumulation of the in the following year because the funding would have moved forward. But the way we do this, we can't see any of that right now. It's not a criticism, it's just an observation that we do have these fixed costs that we think of as supplemental. We don't want to build one-time costs necessarily into an operating budget, but we do need to, what would be operating is just there's an annual capital allocation that has to happen for IT. And then you would give us a plan that says how you plan to utilize that, and we would approve that plan, yes or no. And then if there's something crazy outside that, that'd be on a supplemental list.
We have, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say I want to move us on. We've been a half hour on
I'm
this. We
sorry.
haven't got past page one. So I was just wondering, are we looking at maybe setting up another fund?
Yeah.
I would
want to maybe think about that some more because it would affect indirect cost calculations.
Yes.
So mechanically, I'd want to talk to the auditor and see how we would incorporate that into our budgeting and planning.
So on page 3 of 4, we talk about the IT capital replacement fund.
Yeah, that's what I
And I'm assuming that's hardware,
Correct.
equipment, hardware. If it echoed that as an asset, software management
Okay.
replacement fund, it would echo that. You need to do your research. I understand that, Susan. That would make sense. My one question is, I see use of fund balance 570 proposed transfers in, and then the appropriate. Okay.
We are still going to be putting money into this, aren't
Right.
we? So we
Yeah.
can pay for stuff.
So I take a look at the capital plan that's submitted, and then I talk to IT about how much long, beyond the 6 years that I see to see if the cash flow for that fund
Yeah.
works. So I think I have a page for that under read. Let me just, I should rename that tab. I do. I should rename that cash flow for certain things. So there's a page in there for the IT capital replacement fund that goes through fund balance and then the planning for
Okay.
that. So it shows the 6 years, but I look out farther than that because we have these large blips. And you can see that in that plan on 2030, there's $1 million of capital outlay there. So the transfer has to work for the cash flow for that fund as well.
Okay.
So we look at that every year.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that would be my placeholder for the conversation if we take
Sure.
it further.
Sounds good. Dean, I wanted to ask you a question with regard to salaries. Are we at one fewer FTE?
We will be the budget that is in the proposed budget does not include Damien, a new tech we hired this year with funds for 1 year. We did request more money for him for next year. I
So
would,
that is that in the supplemental then?
yeah, it's in the supplemental.
Okay.
I would highly recommend we keep him. He's very talented,
Keep the
very
position.
dedicated, can't keep the position. If we want to continue having extended services to outlying sites, we do need him for that. We are also looking at taking over duties that Ed has been doing for Ed Wallace has been doing for the sheriff.
Oh God, yeah.
And since he's looking at retiring in the next year or two.
Okay, now I want to talk on that for just a second.
Sure.
So Ed does investigative stuff. You're not taking over investigative stuff.
Yeah.
You're taking over. So the sheriff will need to replace Ed.
Yeah.
But in the sheriff's budget last year, he had asked for IT tech type of a person.
Yes.
And we had said, as a board, you can use one of your deputy positions that we funded, which is ongoing funded. You can use that for this position, and then we'd hope that we were in a better financial position and we can add that. So I guess my question is that if that's going to happen in IT, should that transfer of money from that deputy position go over into IT?
I'm not sure that the sheriff elected to take that option.
Well, he didn't elect to take that option, but it sounds like the work is happening somewhere else and it's just being absorbed by people, or we need someone to do that technology work directly to support that specific software. I mean, I'm trying to make sure that what we don't do is create another position in IT and then
When we've turned it down.
what we've said is we'll use this budget capacity that has not been utilized to pay for that position. I mean, it is basically saying we're going to reduce one deputy and you can have this position, but it was in the sheriff's department. And so we were like, well, we'll let you make that choice. But if the choice is we're going to outsource the work to another department, then we need to reduce the deputy position to pay for that work to happen because the option on the table wasn't to say create another position somewhere else.
You're right.
The option was to use whichever model you think is correct because you're not fully utilizing those deputy positions, we agree, but we're going to use the budget capacity we have from the existing allocation of deputies. And then if you fill all those up, come back to us and talk to us about a deputy. But in the meantime, you could get this position on the books. But they don't have unfilled positions to pull that from. The sheriff has that. So that's what I'm trying to understand what's happening there is, did we just say that, well, I'm going to take the need, I'm going to put it over here? That's fine, but I'm still doing the same deputy personally. I'm still doing the same deputy transfer, which is I'm going to use allocation of one of those salaries to pay for this role if that's his choice. The choice is not to just create another position in another department. That was never a choice.
I cannot speak to what, Sheriff Felici has said to you about the deputy or anything like that. He has reached out to me about having IT take over some of the duties that Ed has been doing just because they found it convenient to use him in supporting the computers there.
So he's been doing their computer support.
He's been doing some of it. He does it primarily for the road deputies and their consoles in their cars.
Mobile data
So
computers.
now you can do it, but you need this one-time position to be able to continue this workload. That's
It would help us to be able to do that workload if we have this one-time position.
Is Damien only doing that work or doing other
No,
work
he
as well?
hasn't started on that yet. Right now, this year is especially heavy with CIP work, and he's been dedicated mostly to that and to going out and visiting outlying areas.
What's CIP work?
The replacement of computers. This year, we're replacing over half of our inventory of computers in the county, and he's
Doing.
been doing that, a lot of that. That's not all that he's doing, but that's been a big part of his job this year. And next year, that number will go down.
I would suggest, because we're talking about fleet and the outfitting of fleet, if we go to an enterprise system to find out how much that work is already going to be done, if it's a mobile data computer and it's part of the car, is it going to be done already? How much work would IT need to be involved in that work if we converted to a fleet?
That part of tomorrow's conversation?
Yes, it'll be a good question to ask the sheriff.
Did you have anything else new in here?
I did want to talk about our communication expenses for the internet. We actually requested less because we were able to reduce our existing costs for that. But the supplemental does have three items that we have asked for that would increase that.
Okay.
So it's going to be kind of a wash. We put it in the supplemental just because it was a new charge to us. So we felt that was where what the supplemental was for.
But it was for a building that we're procuring, that we've procured, right?
They are mostly it's for a building that we've procured already and that we have in there, and that either facilities or the sheriff is paying for all out of their budget. It'd be moving into our budget. There's also the public defender, which we have not done anything with, but we are anticipating that we are going to have to add that expense to the budget.
Where is all of this captured in this book, Susan? That he's talking about these three
Supplementals.
supplementals. But I looked at it's we don't have that
We
yet.
didn't bring them forward. The
Okay.
so specifically the communications piece, that the telecom piece is on page 3 or 4, in the middle of the page. You see a 10% reduction in what's budgeted there. I think sometimes we have situations like with the new building where that isn't really a supplemental request. We have to supply internet to that. So, but it becomes, because it's a new item, and I think the departments are trying to do a good job declaring new items, that they put it in on their supplemental when we could actually include it here and then declare it in our messaging to the board.
So I think for IT, we need to see the supplemental. We'll have to have a conversation about IT supplemental in terms of what really isn't optional on that list and what is optional. So for example, technology and new sites that we've already acquired, not
Notice.
supplemental.
We have to do
It's
it.
operational, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's good to see why we have growth in some of these operational things, and we like to call that out. But I think, to me, when I'm thinking supplemental, it's like, hey, I have a new idea. Hey, I have a new program. Hey, I have a new, but these things that we're really kind of like locked into, we need to make sure that we're getting those into operating. So I think we're going to have to see IT's supplementals to make sure we pull all the operating out of there.
Would you like,
You could do it without us, probably.
okay. And would you like me to schedule time for Dean to come back? Okay.
But this is also, sorry, this is also where I'm thinking that maybe a creation of some kind of a, it's very much like the equipment replacement fund, right? Where there's a certain amount of money that goes and gets transferred in. It can come from, it can be designated in fund balance to, I mean, this is where I'm not the same as Janet and Susan with the GL codes. I can't, my mind doesn't work like that. But in my mind, it could just be a set aside that gets pulled down there and they just run a plan on paper off of, right? It's like, this is how much money that we plan on giving you. That becomes operational. Those new costs then kind of go in there. We're going to do this. We see it with the time we buy a building, for example. Here are all the new capital costs. Then they move into an operating plan after that. And we can kind of see that transition happen somehow.
Right.
I don't know. That's because in this particular department, we're missing things in the clarity of operation or supplemental. And there's a lot of in between in there, kind of. We need to figure out a way to anticipate some of that and address it. And I don't know if I'm using the right vocabulary or thought process, but I think the goal is to know that we've got these expenses coming. They're operational expenses. We don't exactly know what they are. But we should be prepared for them and not consider them one-offs, right?
Okay.
That's
Yeah.
okay.
And we put them on supplemental because it's new to our budget. We know you need to see it. It's not really supplemental, but
Right.
there's
Yeah.
not another vehicle.
There's no
Right.
other place.
Yeah. So it's
It
best
does.
place we could come up with
Yeah.
for.
Dina, it makes me wonder if we're being as diligent about costs for acquisitions as we maybe need to be when we're buying facilities. Ryan obviously does a good job with all the bricks and mortar, but if every acquisition that we're looking at includes obviously the technology needs that are referenced, you talked about the new site, we should be planning those into our acquisitions as well.
We
Are
need
you
some, we
talking
need a
about
number to use.
IT
So if
resources
I'm
or
going to buy a new elections building, if the board says we're going to get a new elections building, the building is one cost. But what I don't know that we're fully capturing is the additional costs of putting in new software, new equipment, new telecom, all of the other costs. Yeah.
I can say that in the buildings that we've done so far since I've been here, Ryan has asked for estimates of what we need to do for the networking and stuff like that.
Okay. Good. So we just maybe didn't capture it in the overall, or I'm not recalling it. That's
Yeah, and
probably
it may be
highly
a
likely
big
piece of it.
category within the budget, or within his budget for the project. I don't know whether
How get
internet expenses are part of it. They pick. We absorb it to begin with and then roll it over to
Okay,
us.
that's what I was going to say. Is we see it as startup costs, like he'll tell us a cost of buying a building and then the cost of equipping the building. And that's that initial investment. But then what we're not seeing is this is what the ongoing
Exactly.
operational cost will be of having another site. We're not,
Yeah.
we don't see that at the time of the
Right.
decision.
Like
Right.
we're going to need an extra custodian.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those could be packaged when those decisions are made too. So I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Because then at that point, it gets built into operating,
Yeah.
really. Once we accept that, initial expenditure, then the ongoing costs get built into the baked into this budget. That's what it costs us to do business.
Dean, can you tell us what's going? This is a sidetrack, kind of, but I don't. But I want to know where it is. Those crazy wires that you sent us the photograph for, I keep referencing in our meetings for the elections building.
I'm hoping to get
I shouldn't
paid
have said
for
elections, right, Melanie?
Oh man, my head went there, Janet.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get it done this year. Right now, we are in legal review with the prosecuting attorney's office as far as what we need as far as legal documents to do it so that we aren't in this position 20 years down the road wondering, okay, how did they permit it? We have an easement, stuff like that, an agreement. So we're trying to get that taken care of. We have talked to a contractor about doing it. We've got a bid on it.
Same.
So it's something I'm hoping to get done this year. I did ask for money in the supplemental for next year in case we don't get enough done this year to get it done, funded it out of this year's budget. But we are working on it. We do have a backup solution with the radio connection between us and elections. So if that we do have a freak windstorm and it goes down, we can get elections back up and hopefully nursing as long as it isn't the connection between nursing and elections that goes down. So we do have a backup plan.
Kind of.
Yeah.
As long as nursing one doesn't go down.
Yeah. Getting the fiber put in between nursing and elections is not going to be a big deal because we're not crossing. We are going to cross property that is either ours or we're leasing on. And I'm sure they've said they'd be very cooperative with us as far as doing it. And it's just replacing it where it's at.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you. But I interrupted you. You were going to say something else. There's something else on here you want us to know?
There's a couple of items now. Let's see if I can name. One was our dues and
Training registrations.
well, training registrations was not it. Fees and memberships. This also comes up with something that the auditor talked to you about last week, where the membership in NSISAC. This is an organization dedicated towards electoral security, and they have had their funding cut. They have asked that the members of it pay a membership fee of $5,000 a year to continue it.
But is it just for elections?
It helps us in everything. Basically, what it does is main things that it provides is warnings about different vulnerabilities and stuff like that. We use it for the entire county. They also provide us with monitoring of what's called our Albert sensor, which tracks traffic on the network as far as anything that's unusual going on. So they will send a warning out to us. So far, none of it's affected elections. It's been affecting other departments that we've got warnings on.
So it's an indirect cost.
Yeah.
The auditor paid for it, so
yeah.
we need to take the 5,000 out. Sheila
Yes.
had grant money, and she paid for the first
For this year,
for
for the
the
first
it
18
because we
months.
were able to pay on time. We got the 18 months, so we will not owe anything till the subsequent year. There's also a chance the state might pick this up because there's so many jurisdictions that need it that can't pay for it. So if that happens, we'll get a refund and we won't have to pay the fee.
Okay.
But right now, the 5,000 can come out of these and
It
make.
can come out of our budget. We will be asking for it again next year
Okay.
if they
Don't
if
pay.
that's still the case where we need to pay for it.
For 2027. I mean, I'm just wondering if that's an expense that should get paid for out of re insurance reserve because everybody contributes into that kind of, right? Every department pays a portion of that. So there's current expense in there and there's other. But to me, that's a risk expense. So rather than just having it be a current expense allocation, I mean, I get that the indirect goes into current expense, but the insurance reserve to me is that proportionate risk sharing fund, and this is a risk sharing expense. So that's what I'm just wondering.
Good point. I can see it going either way, but But if there's
Good
money
one.
in the HAVA grant, that's also a good
No,
resource.
for sure, sticking to a grant. I'm not, I should say, if it's on our side, where's the most appropriate fund to pay for that expense? And I get that the indirect is in current expense, but also I think for something like this, it's very much risk associated. And so I'm just wondering if insurance reserve is
Yes,
the
and we've
right
done that for other things that have been more organization-wide.
Yeah. And this sounds like that this is more organization-wide than just elections.
Where does that revenue come if you pull it out of HAVA or insurance reserve? Is that become an interfund transfer?
If it's HAVA, it goes through the election reserve fund. If it is insurance reserve, it goes through insurance reserve fund. Yeah.
So when you get it from either of those funds, then to get it as revenue into the here would be an inner fund transfer.
So the insurance allocation is how the money moves from the individual funds to the insurance reserve fund. So that's how that would be funded. So each year we take a look at what the budgeted expenditures are in there, the predicted expenditures.
Yeah,
we look at fund balance so that stays healthy in the event of an extraordinary claim year. You see that in the budget section of the book.
In here,
my section.
Sorry, where it shows user memberships at 5,350. Really, if we're talking about using either one of those, you would just need to go up to revenue and show that transfer in. That's a $5,000 current expense pickup. We're not paying for that out of current expense.
Right.
That's what I was trying to ask.
Easiest way to do that is to move the expense to the fund that
yeah,
we want
right.
it to pay for. Because it's the cleanest. Those
that's
parameters
cleanest.
Get
okay.
really
Let's
I like
move
that.
Let's move it on out and somewhere.
Lower.
Okay.
We're moving that on.
Either to where
whichever one makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to
I'll
figure out.
I'll talk to the auditor's office to see what if she has grant money available and plans to use it for this purpose.
My understanding is she used grant money for this purpose for this year.
For this year, and I'll find out when it expires for next year.
And we seem to be doing a lot of travel.
Love you.
It was the next thing I was going to bring up. We asked for an increase in both funding for the gas and for mileage. What it is reflecting, well, the gas basically is all reflecting that we are doing a lot more traveling between Hoopville and outlying sites like Camino, Bayview, stuff like that with the techs.
They're not using a car?
They're using the van at times. They would also like to use their car. We've shut down on that this year because we don't have money in our budget for using it to pay for mileage. The reason we're asking for them to be able to use their own car is most of the techs live north of Oak Harbor, and then being able to go directly from there to Camino and then back home after the day is over, that gives them an extra hour on site to work. So
it's also an hour we save in time, employee time.
I mean, I'm more of like, why can't we park some cars at the North Whidbey Family Resource Center and people can pick up cars there and then come and go from North Whidbey? To me, that seems like a better type of solution. I understand where mileage would go up if we're paying a higher reimbursement rate to the ER&R fund for fleet, right, for motor pool.
Mm-hmm.
But I really am not a fan of everybody just driving their own cars for work for a variety of reasons.
For regular work?
For regular, during the workday work, right.
Yeah.
Like, I understand, like, other scenarios, but like if we're going to and from, I don't know. I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're in a lot of conversations right now about buying more cars. We need to decide if we're going to be a use your own car and get reimbursed company, or if organization, government, or if we're going to be a we'll pay you to use your car. But what's going to happen is we're going to build a model of car replacement off of utilization of the cars. And then people are going to start using their own car and get reimbursed. And then we don't have enough money going back in the system to pay the leases and all different things on the car. So you got to do one or the other. And
or if we move towards the fleet management relationship with enterprise, we won't have enough people pay enough departments paying into that to make the lease payment work. And if I have to end up paying, I not me personally, I me the county. If the county has to end up paying 50 cents a mile for the fleet and 50 cents a mile to the employee, I'm paying a dollar now. Well, I'm not paying a dollar. See where that's going to be a problem?
Yeah, that makes sense. So I think it's a math problem, right?
Yeah.
So I think the daily rental rates for those vehicles would be less than the mileage that you'd pay an employee for the miles.
Well, it could be that the daily rental rates have to go up because it's still paying for wear and tear. That's what Enterprise would charge us if we did that, right? They're not losing money and they're replacing these cars faster. But what's going to be a problem is if we anticipate a certain amount of utilization in order to pay those leases back, and we're not getting that utilization because we're paying people to do their own cars, because inherently we're paying twice then. So I'm not going to fight about this right here, but it's whenever we make a decision on what we're doing with the cars. I mean, that's probably why we can't ever replace cars, is because we're paying money out other places too. We got to get on the same page about our
Our
culture a little
vehicles.
bit.
Yeah, I agree. Rob, anything else, Dean?
That was it, and I'm happy to leave the decision regarding the cars to you guys. I just brought it up. We froze it because it does give us some advantages. You guys keep going on.
Okay, we'll get back to you. Thank you for that. It's an interesting part of, we hadn't talked about this element when we've been talking about going to fleet management. So it's important that we
Yeah.
identify
I do
this.
agree
Thank
that
you.
it makes sense to base a car at the South Whidbey Resource Center, the North Whidbey Resource Center,
Great idea.
accessible and efficient for the use of time for your employees to be able to maximize their time on a job.
So, thank you.
yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Tony. Thanks, Karen.
Tony, you bring in all the money, so you should have plenty of money. If
He
you
doesn't get
collect
to keep
it,
it, though.
oh, he doesn't get to keep it. I see.
I don't know what's going on with this dude's your product. I'm gonna look at yours next. But where we said training, let's get control of our training budget. The last couple budgets I looked at have all had large increases in training. So apparently we didn't get the memo on training. It was where we were trying to tighten up. Did you increase your training budget? Because I'm about to flip to you.
I'm gonna say no until I don't remember.
I'm gonna say no.
So, Tony,
Yes.
what we want to focus on really are changes that you're making to what you did in
Yeah.
2025.
The biggest change is in service operating. Services operating, this is mainly for the property tax statements. I should have budgeted more in 2025 because I didn't realize that there were costs, additional costs
Okay,
posted
so you needed
for
more money in 2025.
and 2026. But
Okay.
25 is fine. I can go ahead and offset other expenses, especially for I don't know what happened
What
here.
other expenses are you offsetting in 2025?
I think we had some for training and such.
Okay.
Well, we're not going to certain trainings this year because of timing issues and because of staffing. So yeah, that's a lot of reduction there.
When you talk about training costs, right? I understand like the cost of going to something, right? Like you have the
Yes.
mileage and the hotel and the meal.
Right.
Is there a cost associated with online training? I mean, I know you have fixed costs with the employee, but do you have to pay overtime for other employees, or you're able to do different online trainings and coursework or different things that your staff might be interested in without hitting the training budget?
Right.
There's a way to do that.
Yes. Yeah, if there is online training, that's definitely a way to go. And I encourage that if there's timing, it's a time to do so. Or if there are some trainings that are free, but you have to go somewhere, especially for real estate excise tax and you have a lot of new staffs there, there's an opportunity to go there, then I would encourage them to go there, just to get that the knowledge. And the last one they had was 2 months ago. There's a free training. That's hosted by Skagit, and I had some of the staff go there. The only cost is the mileage and reimbursement, I think. That's about it. Some of the trainings that myself and hopefully Chief Deputy Monica would go would be the WASAC, which is the Washington State Association of College Graduates. That's about it. And for that training, even half of that money is the cost is going to invest 120 and not current expense.
Sir, go ahead.
Interest revenue, you're looking at a $400,000 increase over last year.
400,000?
Is that what, am I reading that right? Am I
Yes.
And you feel confident in that? Or, I mean, interest revenue is what we got to be counting on here. No pressure.
I am.
Oh, okay.
I think we're going to pass the 3 million this year, unless I'm mistaken. So I think I'm comfortable with 2.8. I'm not sure how I'm. Yeah.
How would you feel about three? You know how we had
It's not.
yesterday where Eric was like, don't underestimate your revenue and overestimate your expenses. And I was like, now wait a second. Remember that whole, do you feel like this is a conservative
That is
number?
a conservative number.
Do you feel like there's a moderately aggressive number and an aggressive number?
Because you're saying.
Again, you never know with interest. The federal market, they might increase or decrease. I can't tell. But if we keep it steady,
But you think we're going to go over 3 million this year, and then we're going to be
we're
two,
projected,
yes,
yes.
but then we're going to be $200,000 less next year.
Yes.
That's what you
Because,
think.
yes, because I can't predict exactly what's going to happen next year.
Even though our county investment pool's increasing and that's where a majority of our money is, you still think that we're going to be less than this year.
That's not where most of our money is it?
It's not increasing. That pool is not increasing. It dips. It depends on the time of the year. There is going to be money coming in from property taxes, and then it's going to go down again because those money are just held temporary for a month or so. Taxing districts.
But we
And
get
then
their interest. Don't we get their interest?
if it's uninvested, then yes. If they have funds, if they have cash in their funds that are not invested, then yes, the county is going to invest those funds and absorb the interest from that.
But if they are invested in our pool, they get to keep their interest.
Yes. The only thing that we charge as the service fees, which is 0.4%, 0.004%.
That wasn't a good deal for us.
Tony, you didn't budget any overtime at all, and yet it's not a big number, so it's not a concern to me, and I don't want to spend time on a $2,000 number, but I was curious. You have taken overtime for the last couple of years, but you didn't budget any overtime.
Right. The overtime I use only is because only if there are staff that are there are staff that are short staff, whether they're retired or they left the office. And I have other, and there's a workload that needs to be covered. And that's when I would approve overtime just to offset.
And you don't think it's not, again, it's a
Not
small number,
planning.
so not
Yeah.
impactful, but you don't think you want a placeholder for overtime?
There's part of Tony's budget when he does have someone leave is there that vacancy.
So the vacancy rate picks up the overtime
Right. So
cost.
you
Okay.
budget for
That's
100% of the
fine. I
salary,
don't, we
that
don't,
would
yeah. I honestly don't need a lot of time when it's not a number.
You don't think we can go to $2.9 million on interest?
We need to up our revenue, Tony, that she's trying to.
Right, but I.
I'm not
It's.
making you go to three. I'm not making you go to 2.999.
But then if I don't meet that 2.9, I'll.
Well, here's what I would tell you to be reassuring is that in 2023, we budgeted 2.5 and we ended up with, well, who cares about that? In 2024, we budgeted, oh, yeah, we got ended up with $3 million. I don't know what it doesn't show me what we budgeted, but in 2023 actual, we had 2.5. We've been, and then this year, we budgeted 2.4. We're going to be at 3. We're going to pick up $600,000. That's going into fund balance, right? So what I'm wondering is if we even go up another $100,000, that saves one person's job, Tony. If we can go up $100,000, we have it in fund balance that we could absorb it rather than what Eric said yesterday, which is risk putting too much into fund balance. See what I'm saying? Because you're obviously not going to three, and I would never ask you to do something you're uncomfortable doing. I'm just wondering if you are comfortable at 2.9. That's one job.
Do you need to think about it and come
Let
back
me
with a
think
yes?
about it, how I project this thing. I'll get back
Okay.
to you.
All right. Because
You
if
like
we
how I framed the
underestimate
question?
too much, we end up in that into
Right.
that fund balance. But the fund balance is there to like mitigate if we make an error.
But just something like that, this interest rate, that is, I projected that it's rate to be going down, but only because of the current government.
Crazy.
Yeah, the
Current
economy
crazy.
is terrible, crazy.
All right.
Anyway, so that's the only reason why we're getting more interest than we are supposed to, right?
I do know that they want to lower the rate, but the reserve guy's holding the line. He's holding the line.
Hopefully
Okay,
he'll
all
hold
right.
his job.
2.85.
I'll get back to you.
Thank you, Tony. Is there anything else you want us to know?
That's about it for current expenses. The other M&Os and investments, those we have funds for that. And I do try to if there are expenses, anything remotely to do with investment, I try to expense it over there because that we have funds for that.
Tony, in the Treasurer's M&O fund.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have put my glasses on. I was looking at the wrong line item. I apologize. No question.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thank
What are your big savings in the investment fund, sir? No.
Okay.
I do
Tony?
want to point out one thing though. Last year, we negotiated with KeyBank to enroll in an excess balance interest earning. So last year we did earn about 17,000 in interest that we normally kept in KeyBank just to cover
Sweep
expenses.
interest.
It was actually interest earned. Prior to
Sure.
that, any interest that we earned, well, we don't earn an interest at all. We have earnings credits that's used to offset the expenses, and if there are surplus in earnings interest, we don't get that. This is the bank keeps it. But think of so last year and this year, we've been getting interest from that.
Great. Great. Hey, did you
Thank
have a
you.
question, Kim?
No, I think I figured it out, but it's more now a question for Susan.
Is it the payroll portions?
No, it was that so on the I was on the investment maintenance services account, and it's projected to be $10,000 less this year. But it looks like there was a fund balance, maybe a transfer into fund balance, and that we counted that as an expense.
It's counted. So to when you adopt the budget, the revenue has to equal the expense.
Yeah.
And so the fund would have an accumulation of fund balance, so it does get budgeted in there. So actually, yes, it's the true expenditures in there are $9,500 less than
Yeah, and that would
that.
make up basically that difference
Yeah.
of like why that other because this will probably show potentially an accumulation of fund balance too at some
Probably.
stage. It's just we don't know it yet. Okay, I get so that's why that is because there's not very many funds that are decreasing. So I just was curious why your expenses went down, but it's because you have done the transfer.
I haven't included the accumulations or the
Yeah.
use of fund balance,
Yeah.
but in the fund tab, if you look at that fund, you'd be able to see that in there.
I
Is
think
that
I just wanted to make double sure that that wasn't an expenditure, like a drawdown of fund balance, but that would be in revenue.
so it's showing an accumulation of fund balance of $13,588
Okay.
for the proposed budget at this time.
Yeah.
So that will show up once we go to adoption.
Okay. So technically that 13 would show up as an expense added to the 85.
Yes.
See? Got it.
Thank you, Tony. We're good. Thank you.
It was a good budget, Tony.
Yeah,
yeah.
it was. Okay, Catherine. Thank you for sticking around for so long.
I only had one big question on your budget, but if you want, whenever.
So what we're looking for, Catherine, are any wherever the bigger changes are from 2025.
One of the changes is going to be to the hearing examiner. For some reason, it showed up as revenue, but it really is expense. But I don't see a corresponding expense for that. So we
Oh,
have
the
services, the professional services.
fee
Nope, there
hearing
isn't.
examiner fees is the revenue, and where's the expense on
No,
that?
that
That
is
is
the
an expense.
expense.
That is
Is
an
not,
expense.
and the revenue isn't on there.
Oh,
And
so
I have
that's a
talked
mistake.
with, yeah.
Okay.
It looks like it's the software because there wasn't a spot for the
Well, that
expense,
makes
only for the
it
revenue.
makes a difference on the totals.
The hearing examiner fees, it's on the first page. I'll share it with you. I marked it. It says Board of Equalization, but I don't know why it got put there. That's just kind of where it's lived. That's actually hearing examiner for the planning. And I have talked with Jonathan about fee adjustment on the actual fees that appellants need to provide.
So, do you think the revenue for that's going into planning's budget?
It doesn't go into planning's budget.
The
Well,
revenue for
they do
fees.
collect.
It used to.
Yeah, that could be where the revenue is going.
Should it go there? Because planning has
Yeah.
a problem.
Well, it shouldn't go there. If the fees are coming out of her budget, then the revenue doesn't get to go over
Yeah,
his.
yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, my hearing examiner is still on maternity leave, so I can get clarification on that. On the second page, which is BOE, the professional services probably can be reduced to like $7,500.
From 3130
Yeah,
free.
we know how many, we now know how many appeals we have, and it's similar to what we had last year. And so this is what we pay our BOE members for attending hearings. So I kind of calculated out how many there would be and what that cost would be. Okay.
So you think that's 7500 down from.
Yeah. It because we have gone from 125 appeals to 35.
Did you say it
Wow.
is reduced to 7,500 or
Yes.
reduced by 7,500?
To
Thank you. That's what I wrote.
7,500.
I just want to make sure I did it correctly. I had a question. You had a decrease in salaries under GSA administration and an increase under HR personnel, and I wondered if those are just getting them correctly coded.
Yeah, so the public defense administrator position is also doing some HR, and so now we're sharing her salary between HR and GSA.
Digression, please. Did you see that from WASAC? We don't have the analysis yet, but we won our court case on public defense.
Yeah, I was actually
Oh,
looking at it
really? I didn't see
earlier.
that.
Well,
What's
you didn't win the case. WASAC has standing.
Well, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah. So you get to actually pursue
because I thought
the
the payment
case.
meant they were paying if we won. So I was like, well, that's great.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was it was really it's an interesting decision that I was looking at it.
We
Yeah,
obviously
I'm wait, I
did.
didn't want to get too excited till I saw the analysis of what that decision in our favor, that's how we put it in the email, the decision in our favor.
Yeah.
So I just but it's step in the right direction. The Court
Excellent.
of Appeals
Absolutely.
published it yesterday, so it's publicly
Well,
now it's now publicly
obviously,
available.
standing, that would have been hard to deny. But I've seen the courts do crazy things.
Well, the Superior Court did deny it. That's why it was at the Court of Appeals. They said Wausau didn't have standing,
And
nor did the county.
if the Superior Court decides to appeal it to the Supreme Court, which would be stupid.
When we get to conflict, the conflict section, well, I want to talk about the services professional there.
So what I got lost. I was back trying to say 20, the
Yeah.
20 something thousand.
So on, I can, the next changes that I want to just draw your attention to is on 5 of 7. The training and registrations or training registrations. I reduced that based on kind of how we've been using it year over year. That's the amount that also includes countywide trainings.
Oh.
And so I just want to
Okay.
reflect that that's closer to what the
Knowledge
actual,
City or whatever.
well, even the ones we bring in that we
Oh,
have.
okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And then my one bit of good news on page 6 of 7, under public defense
Yeah.
revenue, projected for next year is $116,030.
Oh, okay. That's something at
Is
least.
that's projected revenue, but that's not what the line item is here, so that needs to be corrected.
Correct.
Yeah, we didn't know when we submitted budget, and we have submitted our grant application to the Office of Public Defense to get that money.
And that money, sorry.
No,
Go
I'm
ahead.
done.
That money's from the state. Do is there any? I'm not placing a value statement on this because I'll probably argue against it the minute I say it. But is there any proportional fee payment for public defense? So is there like a sliding scale where they're like, you have to pay $500, you pay $1,000. Do we get revenue from that at all?
Defendants.
Yes.
So, yeah, there is a provision for that, and we enter into agreements with defendants that can pay, partially pay, and we do get revenue from that. It doesn't happen very often.
That they can't pay $200.
It's there's a whole formula that's set up, and
Okay.
it's
I mean, I'm not
we go
arguing
through every
necessarily
time.
for it.
Yeah.
I just am knowing that the cost of it, I'm
Yeah.
like, are there people who, like, I don't know that I get that I wouldn't qualify for public defense based on the formula, but I can't pay for my own lawyer either. I don't have money saved up for a legal fee like that, right? It's $50,000 or so.
Right.
So, for the people who are in between, is there an option to say, I'd like to use a public defender, but I can pay? Or is that not an option? You have to either get a private attorney or a public defender based on qualifications.
So the form that the Office of Public Defense provides, that's the screening form. If you meet a certain qualification of income where it's in that kind of middle area, that then allows us to talk to them about getting a public qualifying for public defense if they will agree to pay a portion
Okay.
of their defense. Yeah.
And where does that money go?
I would imagine it goes back into the our fund, but
Correct.
again, it doesn't really happen very frequently. I think we have like two people paying right now.
So not enough for us to budget for.
It
Right.
just goes to current expense, just in
Yeah.
the general
Yeah.
fund. Okay.
All right, Susan.
So under the conflict attorney at the bottom of page 6 of 7. So we had a bad year last year at $871,000, which we corrected through a budget amendment. So far this year, we have spent $605,000 in conflict attorney, so we'll need another budget amendment. The budget does include the 164 in the 2026 budget, so it's probably not right sized. So we'll need to address that.
So that's so basically all the money we just saved on public defense, we're putting in conflict attorney.
Plus some.
Oh, plus some. Yeah. I mean, the, yeah.
So you think, are we back at like 500,000 or you think
we've already
700,000, eight? Are we well, just, is eight our number on conflict attorneys?
We're halfway through the year at $600,000.
So you think like we're going to spend $1 million on conflict attorneys?
If it's a straight line trend, but I don't know that what cases are being.
The costs have been going down the last couple of months.
Well, so clearly 164 is not what we should be budgeting.
Right. And Susan and I talked about this because when I went in to change it, I couldn't change it for whatever reason. I don't know if it was like
well,
a software
bug.
Yeah.
Okay. So what should our number be there?
Millions, what she's telling us. If we're halfway through.
Well, she's saying it's going down.
It is right now, yeah, but for this year.
Susan was like, yeah. It's a straight line trend. We'd be at 1.2.
Yeah, but Catherine said it's going down.
It has been significantly less over the
last. So what about putting 800 in there?
Yeah, I think for 2026, I think that's a good idea. I have some ideas about how to reduce it as well.
Okay.
That I can bring forward.
I feel like we need a work session on public defense to just talk
Absolutely.
About, like, can we contract with other, like, could we contract with Snohomish if it to be conflict attorneys if we're there? It's like other counties are having this exact same problem. And I get that Skagit has that, like, public defense district or whatever that has rules, but not all counties have the rules. So maybe,
most of them do,
maybe
now.
There's a way to make it, like, a trade for trade, right?
Yeah.
Especially if it's our employees. So if we bring them in-house, now there are employees, right. And if Skagit has theirs in-house, I'm sorry, Snohomish has theirs in-house, then we're just trading time for time.
Right. And this is a complete reflection of what the problem is for public defense and why I think most of the counties were opposed to the recommendations that the State Bar Association made. And now what the Supreme Court has said, it's there's just no way to avoid this because we don't have enough attorneys going into the practice. I mean, even our prosecuting attorney is having trouble, has trouble getting attorneys. It's not something that people are coming out of law school and going into the public sector. Well, when you graduate from law school and you have student loans of $250,000, you don't want to go in making $75,000 or $80,000 a year. So
don't they get some kind of
education
credit?
That well we
yes.
You mean the public student loan forgiveness
right.
program? Yes, they can apply to that. Mm-hmm. But
during that time they're paying their loans the entire time.
Yeah.
And accumulating 10 years of credit to qualify for
yeah.
that, 10 years of work credit.
And it's unclear if that program is going to continue.
But this is why I wanted to have another work session on
yeah.
public defense is we could do that. We could say, we'll pay your student loan payment or we'll pay the interest on your loan payment or we'll pay. I mean, we could look at that as a benefit to get people into this profession. If we're going to need a recruitment package also, because that was the one thing that was very clear on that call from the WASAC call was every county is all of a sudden having to beef up public defenders and there's already a shortage. Right. And so thinking through what strategies we could maybe use could be something that we could think about to say, if you work for us for X number of years, that we will do student loan forgiveness and we'll pay your interest while you work here or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go in and pay however much. I mean, that's a really big financial gift. I think we're going to need to think creatively around public defense. Mm-hmm. And then the other legislative idea, who knows, this might be possible. I know we're not doing this now. I can hold up.
But you're coming up with ideas, Commissioner.
One of the ideas was that maybe the state could recognize the time that people who worked in public defense, even though private sector, right, if they would recognize that as a PERS. So if they could buy into the state retirement system, let's say you worked in public defense for 15 years, could you buy into the state system and recognizing those years of public service because you were working as a public defender, right? And would that allow you to be a part of that system? That'd be very enticing for individuals who don't have, you know, a dedicated pension.
Yeah.
Well, if it was allowed, it could be a recruitment tool as well.
Right.
Right.
Because that cost would be huge. 10 years of employment.
So allowed or not, the legislative ask is allow it.
Allow it.
Right. I mean, it may not be allowed now, but she's right that we can, the legislation that we could request is to allow PERS, to allow people who work in the public sector, like public defense, to buy in.
Buying it, especially if we're going to bring them in on as employees, recognizing that private sector time, but really, like, if you work for our public defense firm, you're only doing public defense, and yet prosecutors are getting pension pay in, but they're not. It seems like there should be a buy-in option, and that would be a really nice recruitment incentive tool to get people to kind of switch over. And
that's an idea that could be statewide benefit. And so there are, we got enough attorneys in the legislature that should figure out how to make that happen.
And then is our plan to still, because we didn't budget to, did we budget to move public defense in-house this year? Or
it's in there.
Is that our plan to still try to do that this year? Or we're looking
for 2026. Yep.
For 2026.
Yep. The prosecuting attorney has the code amendment and is looking at it. We're shooting for October.
We got all the costs plus whatever one. What do you think we'll need in terms of additional staffing? Because now it's our staff. So
I'm following up with Matt on some of those costs. Some of them were built in, and I just want to make sure that they're still built in and what we were paying the firm. And then in terms of additional attorneys, when we do reporting, we do totality, so conflict and island defense. So I need to get the data that's just island defense.
I don't understand where it is in the budget, because if it's in the budget, I should see a 2026 new.
It's not
in. No, it's not.
It's the contract.
The amount. Yeah, the contracted amount for 2026 is in the budget.
Can you tell me where? Because I'm. Otherwise, I shouldn't have seen the
5 of 7.
6. Yeah.
6 of 7.
It's right above the conflict attorneys.
But then why do we have...
Oh, the 886.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Why do we have it only at 886 if we're projecting this to be $1 million increase in our costs?
Because that's our contracted counsel, and the other ones are conflict counsel. So when the contracted counsel can't defend...
I get that. So where is the anticipated increased cost because of caseloads in our budget?
It's not.
That's my question. Okay. I didn't see it.
Okay.
But we're not anticipating additional costs associated with bringing public defense in-house other than the things that we might see in other budgets, like IT just mentioned, or.
Right. Unless there's an additional attorney. I just don't know.
Yeah, right. No, but you said that's out right now. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, that's fine. It's just I heard you say the new system was in here, and we know the new system is going to cost us up to $1 million.
I said that for contracted public defense and bringing it in in-house, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Not the reduction, because I don't really know. I know that last year we had 130 felony cases that public defense defended, but I also know that there's a fair number of those that went to conflict counsel. And so I don't know what that reduction is going to have to be from island defense. Yeah.
So when is that change take place where a public defender can't carry more than X number of cases?
So according to the Supreme Court's order, we need to reduce by 10% if they're over 47 cases.
we have to reduce that by 10% next year. And they're giving us 10 years to reduce it completely to the 47 cases. Okay. So they lengthened the amount of time from what the State Bar Association advocated. And they're giving a much longer period of time with kind of more manageable goals.
So do we know how many cases over 47 our public defenders are carrying?
No, that's what I need to find out.
Okay.
It would be Island Defense that would have, yeah. And that's felonies. Yeah. I also have to look at the misdemeanors because that's like 250 or something like that.
Okay.
And we're over that. But I do know that our conflict counsel, and we have a fairly extensive list now, so that there's two or three or four or something like that in each of those categories, which is going to reduce what Island Defense is carrying. But I have to get that specific number, and I don't have it. Yeah.
I have two questions completely unrelated to each other. One is, public defense has conflict attorneys because you can't represent someone who might be involved in a crime with somebody else.
Yeah, so there are, the lawyer might have a conflict with a client. So they could have represented somebody else in another case against that client, so they can't take that client. Or if you have crimes where you have if you have more than one defendant has to be represented by one counsel and the other defendant by another counsel, because there's going to be a conflict between probably the stories those two tell.
But in prosecution, we don't have conflict attorneys on the prosecution side.
No, because the prosecution represents the state. So they only have one client.
Okay. So when I'm looking at the prosecuting attorney's budget versus the public defense budget, public defense, if I don't add in conflict attorneys, is at $800,000+, and the prosecuting criminal side is at $1.5 million. Now, how come it costs more for us to have the, how are we going to justify in our own budget spending double the amount? I know we're not if we include the conflict attorneys, but that's not really what I would say could get built in, because we're really talking about, I mean, maybe it can. Am I comparing those two numbers to the 1.5? I don't personally want a budget that I'm approving where we're carrying expenses of two equal representations of the courts, where one budget's more than the other, unless I understand how to justify it.
Sure.
You don't want to pay a prosecuting attorney more than a defense attorney.
I don't, and I also don't want to make greater investments in prosecution than I do in public defense if it sits within our own budget.
So a couple of things. You're probably more likely to should be comparing the two public defense costs, conflict and contract.
Okay.
And the prosecuting attorney's office also has civil counsel.
They're that, in a different line of the budget.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
But the support staff in the prosecuting attorney's office is also more significant. And part of that is, you know, kind of how, because the burden is on them to prove their case. And so there's a lot that they're having to do, like every single case. Whereas on the defense side, they, you know, obviously they do what they need to do, but they can also like close a case fairly quickly or plea a case out fairly quickly, while the prosecutor had to build that case up.
Well, that's part of my, now that's part of my reason that I think that there should be more public defenders, is because overworked public defenders plead things out faster than public defenders that have time to mount a stronger defense. Now, so I you know, but also I, as you were talking, I thought of another reason, which is prosecutors take everybody to court, whether you have a private attorney or a public defender. So half their caseload could easily be private defense against private defense attorneys.
And I actually have that data. I think on the felony side, it's like, it's let's say 30%
that's public defense.
Okay.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. On the misdemeanor side, it's 66% that have public defense. Okay. So it's exactly that.
Okay.
A lot of people are able to afford their own counsel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think in the storytelling piece of the budget, maybe because this would be the first year where we really have it in house and we're demonstrating that, I really want that robust storytelling piece that explains those numbers, just even historically, so that when people look back, it doesn't look like we intentionally funded one side different than another, that there's reasons for some of these things. Yeah. And we probably should explain those reasons right out of the gate.
Well, and we focus on the public defense side because it is a public cost. Right. Whereas all of those, the other 70% prosecutions on felonies are not public costs except for the prosecution, but we're going to have that on 100%. So yeah, I think that's a good idea.
The lead public defender salary comparison, are they salary comparison to the prosecutor? Because if so, we need to revisit that prosecutor salary. I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I'm saying that because we thought we were carrying that larger salary for 4 years, and now it looks like it might be longer, and that's not what we agreed to when we did that. But I need to know kind of mentally, is the public defense contractor paid the same amount as that, or are they paid the same amount as what, like, Eric was paid?
Yeah, no less than the chief deputy.
So they're basically the equivalent of a chief deputy.
Yeah, so kind of between the two would be my recommendation, yeah.
Okay, I was getting a little nervous because we salary inflated in one area because it was the end of a career, but now it doesn't look like that's the case, but we made a decision based on how long we could carry that additional expense.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if we were going to have to carry it twice.
Well, it's not an elected position, and that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
and it's recognized in the code, in the statute, which is why it's like it has to be no less than the chief deputy.
Oh, it says that. Okay.
That's by statute, yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay. All right, great.
Anything else?
Did we leave DEI in your budget, or it's out of all the budgets right now?
Leave
it's
out
of all the budgets right now.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what did you say?
DEI, where's DEI?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was $75,000 under the county administrator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have the work we're doing now, but we are not continuing any programmatic work around that at the moment. We'd have to put that in, but it's not something we could take out. We'd have to add it in.
Right. Or it could come out of the training budget, organizational training budget.
I need to remind myself a story that I get asked often, and you're the answer. We support WAIF with a dollar amount, and we support Camino with in-kind. How does that show in the budget?
We support both of them with money.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. And
but they also get in-kind. They also get in-kind space.
Yeah, which is why CASA doesn't get as much money as WAIF does. So it's on page one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just need to remind myself of the story because it comes up often enough.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to make sure I have my facts right. They are, Catherine, starting a capital campaign to move.
Okay.
It won't change the services in the contract, but now that they are beginning, and so probably figuring 2 to 3 years if you think about a capital campaign.
Yeah. So future, they'll probably want more money from us then.
Well, I mean, and I think part of that is,
but you also have to look at the differential population, right? Yeah. It's serving a community of 20,000 versus a community of 60,000.
Right.
So let's be clear about that too.
Yeah.
The fees associated with animal control, you shouldn't have mentioned this because now I'm about to utilize every animal.
Mr. Johnson is not serious. We will not let her euthanize the animals.
I might actually for the cost difference. So we're collecting $18,000 in revenue for animal control. This does not include the expenditure in the sheriff's office, which is two animal control officers. And we're pushing out $135,253. So you added two. So we're pushing out $335,000 for animal control a year, because I put those two animal control wages in there at $100,000 each, because that's easy math. And we're collecting $18,000. At what point are we, like, what's our fee conversation? Our what the what conversation? Our I mean, when we're talking about like some of the conversations we're about to have in terms of basic government services and functionality, that's a $300,000 difference between licenses and revenue coming in and expenditures going out related to, and again, I'm not like anti-cat or puppy, but related to how we deal with animals.
So this is leading to an issue I raise all the time, which is we need consequences to people not abiding by expectations. Island County employees don't go get licenses for their pets because there's no consequences to not having a license for your pet. I mean, this happens all over the place with so many issues. We don't have consequences.
The animal control officer has the ability to, because he did it in Henry Hollow. He showed up there one day and he wrote tickets to everybody in Henry Hollow who didn't have a dog license.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard of
it. Because I heard about it.
I'm bad. Because that's...
So they can. Question is... Yeah. You know, my dog's 10 and a half years old and his license costs $10 and it has the whole time. So like
100%,
at least for 10 years, there's been no fee increase. So it's something to consider. Part of the difficulty is like human resources and general services doesn't have anything to do with the fees.
Mm-hmm. They said so.
It's done through the treasurer's office. So they collect them. They're the ones that put them into our account and attribute it. But you can go to the treasurer's office and you can get.
But it's ironic. People pay $3,000 for a Labradoodle.
And then
they pay $10 for a license.
Yeah.
There is something to be said that, I mean, and we can have a waiver program for people who are low income and own pets to do that. But, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's
people aren't going to do it. My dad would never do it. I'm not trying to pick on my dad. That's just not how we thought about our pets. They were just outdoor dogs. We named them. I snuggled with them, but they were outdoor dogs. And then he wasn't going to license them. He's not. That's how a lot of people think about their pets. And so, I mean, I get it. But I'm also just like, that is a pretty big value statement in terms of revenue in versus expenditure out.
Remember, we're also maintaining county owned dog parks on both islands.
That's right. That's another.
And so there's another place where we're saying to people, I mean, there were six dogs at the dog park last night.
I don't mind that one as much because it's healthy. Like yes. Run around with your dog, that's healthy.
Oh, well, nobody,
But I mean, this is getting to be a pretty significant expense, and I'm not doing anything with it right now. I'm certainly not killing your kid's hamster today, but you might want to let him, Johnny, know I'm coming because
Mr. Johnson is not going to kill anybody's hamsters.
Here comes the Grim Reaper of hamsters. We adopted a guinea pig at the
Go ahead. But this is one of those areas that if we're really looking at as tight of a budget as we're talking about, this is one of those areas I think needs to get looked at a little bit in terms of roles and responsibilities and carries it, right? Like I'm not making a threat to it. I understand the public benefit of safe and secure animals. And I don't want to be cruel. I mean, I love those puppies at the shelter. That's why I don't go to the shelters because I would cry and bring them home. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's a pretty big, I mean, we've got the investment in animal control through law enforcement, and then we've got these expenses.
But no, I can check too on, because I get data, like totality data, and I can check with the animal control and see how many animals they're actually taking to WAIF and to CASA, because that's actually what we're involved with.
Could you maybe consider, if you guys are okay with this, bringing a resolution to the board increasing the fee for a dog license in 2026 to $15 per animal?
They're going crazy.
pay 20.
I mean, I know like the more expensive it gets, the fewer people who do it, but the people who do it right now are already the conscientious ones.
That's right.
The ones that are going to pay.
They'll pay 15 and not even think about
it. I get that people don't pay for their working dog. 20 is easy. You just grab a 20 and pay it.
Okay, 20 sounds good.
I would support that. We haven't raised fees on animal control. Gosh, you not only just doubled my cost, I have two dogs now. So now I have to pay $40.
You do.
But yeah. I also buy them frickin' $75 dog food. So again,
if I can afford to pay
$75 for a bag of dog food, it's a big bag, but still.
Yeah,
I can find out too, like talk to Tony about who's actually sending us money.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe a better, even better expense, I mean, the fee increase, yes. And then maybe when we send out the tax returns, we invest in an insert that says, have you licensed your pet? And we try to do a little campaigning around trying to get this revenue up so it's a lot easier to justify some of these expenditures. I mean, even if we could cover half the costs on this page, that's a significant improvement. I mean,
well, can we license horses? Do you know how much it is for a dog in Mount Vernon?
No.
$50 a year.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't know if we'll have time before this budget adoption, but I feel like we need to do something to try to get this expense and revenue to at least be 50% of what we're paying out the door. That'd be a good poll.
Mm-hmm.
Because Melanie's not going to let me talk about my pet approach anymore.
People listen to our recordings.
Yeah. Well, I think
that's what she wants to do now.
What they don't listen to is that we're collecting $18,000 and we're pushing out $325,000. That part of the story never gets out there. All they talk about is the terrible thing I said. Maybe they should say, maybe she said a terrible thing to get me to pay attention to the numbers I'm not in. And the numbers are not telling a good story about our ability to sustain some of these programs.
Yeah.
All right. That's all. I wasn't, you know.
It's okay.
So you didn't have anything else, Catherine, in this budget that was nothing new and weird?
I don't think that jumps out at you.
Okay. Okay. And so she gave us some numbers for the PEB here today.
Mm-hmm.
Did those look like pretty actual numbers, do you think?
The best we can do right now.
Okay.
The PEB board has adopted for state employees and non-Medicare retirees.
Mm-hmm.
So our contact at PEB said, you know, something in line with the non-medical retirees. The non-Medicare retirees. That's what I shared with Susan.
Okay.
They canceled their meetings for tomorrow and next week.
That's not a good sign.
So we'll just have to see what they actually do when they come out.
Because we're all through Apple Health, right? The state program. Isn't the state program through Healthcare Authority?
It is, but it's not Apple Health.
Okay, but it's the Healthcare Authority. It does.
It's a public employee.
It's benefit. A public employee benefit board that monitors all of that. The programs that we pick are Premera.
It's a private insurance.
Right. I thought it was on Regents.
Oh, Regents. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been telling all my doctors this week I'm Regents.
I thought that the Healthcare Authority managed all the health benefit programs for public employees.
Yes, they do, but they're private insurers.
Okay, that part might be okay. That part might be the reassuring part. What I was trying to anticipate was, do you think that they would raise the premiums to state employees to pull into their system in order to cover those Medicaid people?
Yeah, no, those are completely separate.
Two separate silos. Yep. Even if they're through the Healthcare Authority, they're separate.
Yeah, silos. And in fact, their increases for state employees were, for the two plans that we have, one went up, what did I say, 22%, which is the least number of people we have, and the other one went down 1%.
And what's the difference? Why is there a rate difference between the HSA and the HRA?
Because one of them, the insurer, is going to have to be has a greater responsibility. Sometimes it's just who has used and made claims on the fund. So the HSA, which is the high deductible health plan for the state employees, that's the one that went up.
Yeah, that's the one I'm in.
Well, we have, that's our fewest employees are in our high deductible health plan.
So it's a pool issue and a utilization issue.
Exactly. And then the same thing on the reverse side is that the select plan, which is what we have for our HRA employees, that on the state level was going down 1%.
I guess I just didn't understand because I thought it was a difference of how your deductible got paid, not your insurance coverage. So I thought if you were in the plan, like you could be in a plan where the county covers your expenses and that, or you could be in my plan where it goes into the HSA. And if I, and I use that HSA, but that was how you paid for your deductible, not for the cost of your plan.
Correct. And so in the high deductible health plan, they build in thinking they're not going to have to pay a whole lot because it's a high deductible health plan. So you have a high deductible. So there's certain things under the Affordable Care Act they have to provide, like preventive visit a year, some of those things. Then there are other things where you have to pay, they'll pay 20% and you pay 80% or something. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Where you get into the deductibles. But when the insurance companies are setting the premiums, they're looking at claims experience primarily.
Okay.
Yeah. Versus premium income. Yeah.
You'd think the HSA would be lower utilization because typically if you're younger, you'd want to get into that plan so you could save your HSA money up longer. And that when you're older, you'd pick a...
Some younger people have thought that and have done that. And then a lot don't.
Okay.
And part of that is like when you have a young family,
yeah,
you're going to run through that. Whereas for us, like the HRA, they don't run through it as quickly because there's a lot of visits that are going to be covered better by the select plan than by the high deductible health plan.
It takes me a long time to hit my deductibles.
No. Done in February, luckily. Mm-hmm. But that's a more of a me thing.
Yeah, I think we were done in January.
Okay, so you're all
with a knee replacement.
Nothing else?
Yeah.
Catherine?
I don't think there's anything else.
Okay. It's funny how when you got your Medicare supplementals, you plan, okay, what are the big things I have to do this year? And then you shop your plan based on who plays best for the knee replacement. That's what we did.
Exactly.
We're sitting there with Sheba going, okay, well, we know we're going to have knee replacements. And so which plan pays the best for the knee replacement?
Yeah. Susan, do you have anything else for us today?
I have nothing further for you today.
Okay. Commissioner Jill or Janet, do you have anything more?
No.
No? Okay. If nothing more, this meeting is adjourned until 9 a.m. July 24, 2025, when the board reconvenes for the continued special session 2026 budget workshop.
It's not for this year, but we did say that we were on.